Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. We got a full studio today.
We got a bunch, don't we?
Yeah. Steve Williamson, Mike Costantino.
Beloved.
My beloved co-host.
Thank you. I missed that.
I missed that, that description of you. And we have two of the founders of Democrats of the Red Rocks. And Democrats of the Red Rocks was founded about 10 years ago. It was originally a women's political group. And we're going to find out about it because I think it's a really interesting story. About how you can make a difference. Everybody looks to make huge differences to run for president or something like that. And people don't look at what can be accomplished in a community, that you can actually change things where you are.
As overused as the word is, grassroots applies here.
Yeah. And so we have Angela Lefebvre, who's the past president of DOOR, is in the studio, and we're going to be talking to Susan Solomon, who was the first president of DOOR.
Good morning.
And Elizabeth Yancey, who was the first vice president of DOOR.
Good morning.
So what do we want to ask them first? Well, DOOR gets going 10 years ago, right?
Right, 2003.
And what sparked it? I know when I moved here, people said, well, this is a Republican town with lots of Democrats. And then we found out, and after the Kerry election, it was a Democratic voting town.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that. But what I would say is that the impetus for the group, it was not a women's group. I want to correct that right away. It just turned out that the women who were on the first board were people who would be willing enough to come forward and say they were Democrats. The impetus was that after I was elected to city council in Sedona, I got a call from Janet Napolitano's campaign group, who asked if I would be an area campaign coordinator for her. And I said that would be a great idea. I thought it would help to get Sedona more exposure to the governor's office. And so I had to form a committee to get her elected as governor. And so I started asking around. One of the first people, in fact, that I asked was a woman named Aimee Gould. And Aimee had lived here forever. And she was the resident openly out of the closet Democrat. And I went to her and she gave me a couple of names, and then those people gave me other names. And it really just turned out that they were all women, and there were 11 of us. And we formed this committee to elect the governor, Napolitano.
And this is the genesis of what eventually became this premier political club in Sedona.
Yeah.
And DOOR is probably now one of the largest political clubs in rural Arizona.
Full disclosure.
It starts out with 11 of you, all women, all getting together to support a single candidate for office. It was all focused on the Napolitano governor's race. And that was in, what, 2002?
No. It was 2002, because that's correct. It was 2002. But what happened was that as we were working for that campaign, people were, including the board, people were coming up to me and others and saying, you know, this is really a great thing, and you really should do something after it's over.
Keep it going.
Right. And so we talked about it, and when the campaign was over and Sedona did, in fact, go for Janet Napolitano, we had an all-day retreat, and we talked about mission statements and org charts and all kinds of things, and started DOOR. And Elizabeth was instrumental in a lot of the legal aspects because of her experience as a lawyer and a judge and past city magistrate, although she wasn't at that time, to put together all the paperwork. Elizabeth?
There were a group of very hardworking women who slogged through all that wordsmithing and coming up with all of our bylaws and policies and all that really fun, exciting stuff.
Yeah. There are 199 pages of bylaws. No, not really.
No.
Uh-huh. No. But But what was the situation in Sedona? Now, I arrived here, and I think Angela arrived just slightly later, and we arrived for the Kerry campaign in 2004. And I tell the story of the people across the street. I had a sort of precinct party for them. People across the street, I said, why didn't you invite us? Because I saw all the cars and stuff. And I said, well, you're registered Republicans. And this was a Democratic, you know, precinct party. And they said, we're not really Republicans.
Right.
And there was a tremendous number. I was really stunned to find this, Mike, that there was a tremendous number of people in Sedona who were registered Republican, who were really Democrats, or who were registered as, I don't know. I don't, what was going on?
Well, at that time, my sense was that Republicans had strong representation. Generally, the Sedona 30 was considered Republican, and there was the Republican Men's Club and the Republican Women's Club. And if you looked at the voting history, it had largely gone Republican. I think that Democrats, my experience was that Democrats would come up to me at the beginning and whisper to me, I'm a Democrat. It was like no one wanted to come out of the closet because people here, if they were Democrats and had a business, they didn't want people to know that. Because they were afraid they'd lose business because there was such a Republican feel to the town. And so our creating this organization was a pretty bold move, I guess, in a way. But what we discovered was that in the first few months of the organization, from I think it was April to November, we had 202 members. And that was at a night where we signed more people up because that was our kickoff night. And we had, Elizabeth, why don't you talk about what Sue Williams did with the voter registration?
Sue was the lead person for a huge voter registration drive. She and Suzanne Green, I believe, registered more than 800 people for that campaign for the next campaign. I think it was for Kerry. That was the next one. In any event, we had, I want to clarify too that from the time of our first public meeting, when we asked people to join DOR, the Democrats of the Red Rocks, men were included. Men were part of that group and they were very welcomed. It wasn't as if they were, oh, well, we're just this group of girls. We're just going to get together. No, it was, just happened that the people who came forward at the time the board was created, which was the group who worked on Janet Napolitano's campaign,
Why did Democrats form a group with both genders while Republicans have these gender-specific political groups?
I think you'd have to ask the Republican Men's Club and the Republican Women's Club. But I would say, not understand, but from our perspective, Democrats have always been inclusive. And I think women's rights and equality and getting together and so on has always been important. And I don't think it even crossed our mind to do that. That was a precedent set by Republicans, and we didn't even think about it.
The state party requires that the lead offices be of opposing genders, of male and female. If there's a male president, it must be a female vice president.
Right. Well, you know, we didn't know all that. We just started up. And the other thing I want to hasten to point out is that the founding of DOR was not so much against Republicans as it was for Democrats and for the correct or the wonderful way that we could improve Sedona. We had a total sensitivity to the fact that there were moderate Republicans and many independents here. And we wanted to reach out to them because a lot of Republicans or Democrats or independents will vote for different people. I mean, it's not to say that every single Democrat is better than every single Republican. I mean,
Susan, Elizabeth and Angela, the Tom O'Halloran Republican, the people that are passionate about the environment and about education, and maybe more Republican on other issues. Is that what you found?
Exactly.
I see.
Exactly. And we felt also that to carry blue in Sedona, we definitely wanted and had to reach out to these people because a lot of, like I say, a lot of them will cross over depending on the candidate or the issue.
Yes, they're not so ideologically bound as apparently in 2013. Some of that may have changed. Angela, as past president.
This kind of when you talk about education and immigration and so on and all areas which kind of pass, I think break party bounds and cross over is, I think that's really important. And I think that's where DOOR has really evolved. And maybe you can comment on this, but, you know, having seen that evolution from about the time when, you know, Kerry's time and so on, the last few years, is we not only have developed political awareness, more political awareness in the town, but what we have done, I believe, is we've actually reached out and started, you know, more activities. So for instance, we got involved with the National Scenic Area, which was huge for Sedona. It was going against kind of DOOR's principles of not getting involved in issues, and that's why I wanted to bring this up to you guys, because I know this was something that you did not want to do, but we saw an opportunity there to be able to reach out to Republicans, to independents, and say, hey, the National Scenic Area is something that we really feel we can, will help Sedona and the area. Not only that, but we had Ann Kirkpatrick, which is another big step, a Democrat representing us in Congress, who could actually take this to a higher level. And we almost did. And that kind of gave us a brand, I think, as being a leader in the area, as being maybe putting diverse groups. Of course, we formed a coalition. And that was what was so strong. And DOOR was a part of that coalition. And I thought that's something that I would like to see continue, being careful not to, you know, not to overstep the boundaries. But I think where there is an opportunity to reach out and to be active in that perspective is great. And it's something that I feel has evolved over the years. And maybe I'd like to hear your opinions on what you think about that. I'd like to just start, Angela, by saying very briefly that our main focus when we began DOOR was to establish a strong organization with as many members as we could, because we knew that that would guarantee a future for Democrats in Arizona. And we really wanted to keep the natural divisiveness among humans, who are also Democrats, to a minimum in the as in moving forward and fulfilling our mission in securing the goals that we had set for ourselves as an organization. We wanted to be united in that. And that was, at least as far as my personal viewpoint regarding it, was the reason that we wanted to stick to candidates, getting Democrats elected, and to avoid the issues. Because after a couple of issues, we really do see a wide range of opinions, as has been stated previously, and I know you're aware of that. So that was the initiating, at least from my perspective, reason for limiting the mission of the Democrats of the Red Rocks to getting Democrats elected.
And, excuse me, I would agree with everything that Elizabeth said. I think it was the group's mission, because when we worked out that mission statement, we really hammered. I think it took us, well, normally it takes days or weeks for companies, but we realized that what united us all was to get Democrats elected. And in order to do that, our goals were to register Democrats and even Republicans. I mean, if someone came up to us and wanted to register, we'd register them. You know, why not? Also, if we had events that we could sponsor or other things that we could do to get Democrats elected, we did those. There were some early issues that came up about the war in Iraq.
It was Iraq.
So I was so confused with all the wars. But anyway, and people were very divided about it, and they wanted to demonstrate and want get DOOR to get involved. And we just said, you know, no, in general, all of us agreed, not a good idea. I can understand. I think if it's a coalition, that certainly takes the onus off of DOOR. My only concern is that hardening of attitudes among Republicans or independents who see an organization as quote-unquote left, or taking stances that are anathema to some Republicans, for example, possibly choice or even immigration. I don't know what the status is here in the state. But that was not going to be a good thing for us, at least initially. I really didn't think more beyond. We were both in office in the same board for 2 years because we wanted to give it stability. And after that, I don't know what was going to happen. I don't think either of us did.
Well, part of the evolution of Doar certainly is, and full disclosure here, Steve Williamson is president of Democrats of the Red Rocks. I am on the board. And we have evolved, I think, to more issues, not embracing all issues, but just, I think what it has evolved to is that reasonable organization that you would have hoped for, where individual differences can be mitigated and the important things can be focused on, like the environment, like education, like those things that brought Napolitano to office on a bipartisan fashion. And Doar still continues the information thing with monthly movies at the library. You could be proud of that. The monthly breakfasts have just outstanding. I remember I attended Doar meetings in those days. And sometimes when they first started some of the things, not great attendance. But now, you know, we get huge crowds. I mean, relatively speaking, at our breakfast, and we get decent turnout at the movies at the library, just because I think the hunger for information, which you guys sensed back when you started. Angela?
Yeah, I think too, just in response to what Susan was saying, is that I see your point. And I think that Doar has been able to, despite the fact it has taken the lead on some issues, has stepped in a very, very moderate way forward so that people look on Doar as a way of finding things out, talking and discussing the issues as opposed to taking a stance. You know, Steve's done an amazing job now for a number of years to bring in speakers. And we've had amazing speakers from all points of the spectrum. We also, for instance, recently we had an amazing meeting where we had senators from Phoenix come up from the House to talk, because we don't have any representation here yet. We will one day, okay? But they're Republicans representing us. So we decided to have some Democrats coming to talk. So four amazing representatives, well, one senator and three representatives. And the place was packed. And it was orderly. And guess what? We had Republicans there. We had Tea Party people there. But it was an amazing meeting. Everybody joined in, and we had a great discussion about all the issues that had gone on this year in Phoenix.
Another Doar legacy, and I think, you know, I could.
Yeah, and I this is very heartening to hear this, because I was once asked what I thought was, this was on a cruise ship by a man from Switzerland. He asked me what I thought was the key issue in the world, the most important issue in the world. And some people were saying, he asked everybody, you know, money or wars or whatever. And I said education. Because if people are educated and can vote intelligently or think critically or speak well, communicate well, that's what breaks down the barriers. So I'm all for that. I think that's great that you do that. And the fact that you pull in a variety of people is a testament.
Yeah, I think the core of Doar, of course, are Democrats. But the shock in the Kerry election was one of the Buddhist monks here did a study and found out that Kerry carried Sedona. That was a shock to us at all. And we had a terrible time getting the news out. And to get the local newspaper to publish it, I will say that we had to report over and over again the events before they would publish just the statistics about what had happened in Sedona.
It's very surprising, because we knew we'd carried with Kerry.
Yeah, but it took an analysis of the actual facts to get it out.
Okay.
And it wasn't published. In other words, you can know it, but if you don't get it published by any sources, then it's really not there. And people really didn't know. And Sedona's independents tend to vote Democratic. That's just the way it is. A lot of the state, the independents still vote Republican. I think a lot of people don't identify with the Democratic Party. A lot of the younger people here maybe have values and beliefs that are closer to Democrats about education and foreign affairs and stuff, but they still don't identify with the Democratic Party. It's an older party. It's part of the old thing. But they, when they go to vote, they go vote for Democratic candidates. And so, you know, a lot of it is the Democratic Party has its issues, I think Mike would say. And, you know, we're not saying, we've never said that the Democratic Party was perfect or anything like that. I'd say that getting out the word that Sedona voted Democratic was really, really helpful in terms of extending the organization.
Yeah, our individual precincts, you know, when you look at the larger picture, you know, as far as the numbers go, although in a state like Arizona, you can't ignore Sedona. Numbers help. And so, when you look at our 10 precincts, then that's when things become real clear. You look at Yavapai County as a whole, well, things get a little murkier and certainly a little uglier for the reasonable party. I mean, the Democratic Party. And,
That kind of talking isn't going to get you anywhere.
Oh, that's good. That's right. That's
gotcha.
Right.
I think that's right.
Attacking education is a very reasonable position.
Yeah, I think things have changed a lot, but, just getting out the facts helps people, encourages people to come forward and stuff. And that's a lot what we do. And DOOR still doesn't take a lot of positions on anything. I think if you look at our speakers, you'd see that DOOR has.
Well, of course, yes. It's taking away solar credits is a very reasonable position. I can see that.
Can I ask you guys something? Whoops, to the mic here. So you've done this phenomenal job. You started out an organization here, which was basically a Republican city or town, whatever, region, area, and it became, as we just heard, by 2004, a Democratic city. So my question to you now is, can this be duplicated in other areas in northern rural Arizona? You know, I was in Payson the other week talking to the ladies there, and actually there were some men there too. They have a ladies group, but nowhere near the vitality I see here. And we spoke about it. You look at Cottonwood and you see the same thing. You know, things are kind of improving a bit in Prescott, but it's slow, very slow. Can you maybe give some ideas what you have in mind as to, you know, what you could suggest or say might or could happen in the future?
Absolutely. I have to tell a story that when I was in publishing and I worked on a book that was very successful, one of my mentors came to me and said that the reason this book was so successful was because I was a megalomaniac with a mission. And nothing was going to stop me from getting this book out, and it did extremely well. What you need is a person or a couple of people who are leaders, who will step up, who have a vision, which is typical of what leaders have, who can communicate that vision, and who can create enthusiasm on an issue or, for example, on a club, and revitalize it. I think sometimes it requires saying, okay, we're not going to have a ladies' club or a men's club now. We're going to take them, we're going to put them together, for example. And what are all those opportunities? And maybe have some focus groups, or what would they like it to be? What's not working? What is working? Looking at other models of other cities, what they've done. But it takes somebody to step up, or a few people. In our case, it was the group of the board. That we were just going to do it. And I mean, I will say I had a leadership role in terms of facilitating the meetings and making sure people stayed on topic and all that kind of thing that happens at meetings. But it was all of us, really. Elizabeth?
Oh, I agree. Susan's put it very well. I think that without a point person, someone who is really committed in their bones to accomplishing something in a community, whether it's forming a political club or stopping erosion or whatever it is, that is always what step one. The other thing that I also think is very important is something that has been what has, I think, had something to do with keeping the Democrats in the Democratic Party in the state and in the nation, and that is inclusiveness, that we welcome every person. And to some degree, there is a recognition that whatever your issue, whatever your position on an issue is, that's fine. You have the right to make that decision. And recognizing, too, that we all come to this part of life, that we all come into life based on our experiences that we've had, our education, and maybe something of our DNA, that we are not, that Democrats are not somehow blessed by a higher power and Republicans are not. No, it's completely different. We're all blessed with this life. And to recognize that we all, we see all these little cartoons now, and I'm so happy to see them, that if the boat goes down, we all drown. It's not just the Democrats are going to be getting the lifesavers. Nobody's going to have a lifesaver if we cannot find a way to come together and to recognize and appreciate and honor our differences and still identify those areas where we can work together and we can create a better world for our children. And I think that's another key for the Democrats, is that as far as I can see, with a few exceptions in the Senate, the current Senate, most Democrats recognize that we're not going to be here forever, that our children and our grandchildren are going to inherit the results of our decisions today and our leaders' decisions today. And I think that's part of what keeps Democrats in the Democratic Party, because so many of us feel that way and see that.
Let me ask you this. You've left this great organizational base that at least according to our conversation this morning has been built on and evolved to whatever it has to, and maybe even improved, widened anyway. What is the next step? One person in this room has, as far as in my opinion, taken what is a reasonable next step, and that is run for office. Once you have an organization that's inclusive, that looks at all the issues, looks at both sides, looks at more than two sides, and tries to deal with come to a reasonable position through a focus group rather than through my saying so, the next step is running for office.
Mike, I haven't run for office, so you're not referring to me. Who are you talking
about?
I'm
referring to Angela Lefevre and good on her. That, in other words, that's really putting it out there. Working in a club is great. Like sitting on the sidelines and saying "go get them, kids" and is great, but actually putting yourself out there to represent those positions that you have found, that we have found, the club that you founded has found to be reasonable positions on the environment, on education, on those things that you care about.
Well, first of all, I would say that I don't pretend to know exactly what your next step is. I think what would be a great idea would be to have a focus group or two or three to ask people what they think the next
is becoming a candidate a reasonable next step for at least
well
some
it's
people?
A step, of course, but also the goal is to get Democrats elected, whether they're from the group or not, maybe going out to other people and recruiting them. But one thing you might think about that you already mentioned is to outreach to the other communities and help them create doors in their own towns and foster them and go in there with your vision and something like that. If you look around and see how can you strengthen the whole region here? How can you then strengthen further north or whatever?
And I love to hear that. As I'm also on the board of Democrats of the Verde Valley, the Cottonwood organization, and we are desperate for leadership, 15 miles down the road. So anybody listening to Susan Solomon this morning that is looking for something to do politically and wants to be active and passionate about things like the environment and education, please, 15 miles down the road, we could use you.
Mike is desperately worried about ending up being a president of Democrats of the Verde Valley again.
Right, Mike.
So if you folks would step forward and help him out of this
another
predicament.
The Riverside office, we call it. We don't call it the Oval Office. We put River Rock in a circle.
I'd like to add something, Steve, if I may. There is an organization with which many people here are probably familiar called Emily's List. Mm. And that organization has for many years now, I'm very happy to say, held regular training programs for women to help teach them about the political process from the inside. And I know one person here who is uniquely qualified to initiate such a program here if she desired to do so, with the support, I'm sure, of the Democrats of the Red Rocks. If we don't educate the younger people who are passionate, who are interested, who want to make a difference, we're really losing an opportunity. And so I would suggest that that's another way to help build a stronger base and a broader base for Democrats who want to support education, who are clearly interested in protecting our environment, our incredible environment here.
Well, just to let you, what I have done this year and what we're always looking at doing is we're very conscious of the fact we don't want to be seen too much as getting involved in certain specific issues or actions. So we formed an outreach group, and we've got about 50 people who are involved, some more than others. And what we've done is we've got involved with organizations like Northern Arizona Interfaith Alliance, and we've actually gone out there and teaching English to the Hispanic parents in the middle school. They have kids there who are not doing too well. They can't help them because they don't, when they bring their homework at home, it's in English, they don't speak English very well. So we've been going there. There is a program out there already, and we've been helping, volunteering there on a weekly basis. And I'm proud to say there's probably 6 or 8 individuals from Door who are doing that, and that's absolutely amazing. Those are the kind of things that we're trying to look at. We're involved right now in the education override to try and get the message out as to what it is. That's the kind of functions that I think are important in this community, to get the message out.
Right, and educating young people, and I don't know how exactly you would do it, but what I was thinking of is that when I was in high school, I went to Girls State, and girls came from all over the place. And we got together, we did elections, we did mock elections and speeches and so on. And, you know, there may be some interest in some of the schools around here to do something like that.
I think it's an educational process just to run for office, support people running for office, and to have a candidate. I think that's one of the most important things. I think in the one thing I would say to Angela, particularly the problem we have that's deepest is to get candidates to run for office. So our visitors here have to run out of the studio. There's going to be a puff of no. Here, Angela.
I just wanted to say, both of you, thank you so much. We had actually a celebration yesterday in Sedona for these wonderful ladies. We had, 9 come, and we went to Heartline Cafe, and we had a wonderful brunch, and a lot of people came out to celebrate and to say thank you, because you guys were the ones who started it all, and it was an amazing feat. And it really has done something. It's contributed to this town, to this city of Sedona. So I think I can say for everybody in Door, all the hundreds of people, thank you guys. And for everybody else, even the Republicans too, because I think they enjoy us as well.
Elizabeth Yancey, Susan Solomon, Angela Lefevre, that's been great. Elizabeth, you live here, right?
Yes, I do, and I'm on the program in October regarding restorative justice.
All right. Well, very good.
Thank you all for having us.
Yeah,
thanks for
coming. It's
been a pleasure coming back and for a visit. And I come back periodically anyway, so I'll pop by and say hi.
I baffled
Susan by asking, you know, what people were from Connecticut were called, because Arizonans are called Arizonans. But thank you for coming all the way.
We don't end in a vowel, so I don't know what you're
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you very much again, Angela. Thank you so much for what you did yesterday.
And you know, thanks to all the women who joined you, two of which have passed on, to three of which have passed on now, who founded this organization 10 years ago.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right, see you later.
Bye.
I think we should, did we mention on the air Gail Summers?
No, we really should mention that.
Yeah, I think we need to do that.
Gail took over the organization after the Kerry campaign.
Right.
And it's a lot, you know, I think her leadership was very inclusive. She was a very hard-nosed organizer, and at the same time, she had kind of a spiritual dimension. She's in and out of Sedona now. She's not here enough to be active, but she occasionally comes to meetings. So this is an interesting story in that these women get together and they do something that actually changes things.
Yeah.
And I think we always have the focus on the president. We don't look at where we can actually make a difference. And we don't think that anything new can happen, right? I mean, I think this is, there's, you know, and I'm always complaining to Mike about the pessimism that's seeped into American society. And pessimism is we can never elect anybody any good. There's no, you know, and I think that that's not true.
Both sides
you
are the
can
same.
Make
there's
a difference.
No difference between Democrats and Republicans, Demokins and Republicrats. I hear that from the young people all the time.
Right. And I think you can make a difference. And even, I think, often in history, you just simply don't know whether you're making a difference or not. And when an organization like this gets started, they don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know now, active indoor, what's going to be happening. Mike?
Two things. First of all, I wanted to finish the line of
sure.
Pretend we're looking down a hall and looking at portraits. The other line, of course, is Norm Sunstead as a past president of DOOR, who continued just that legacy, that combination of spiritual and incredible efficiency.
And then Angela was the
and
next.
And then Angela,
president.
And then you.
Yeah.
The other thing I want to say is a testimony to what our founders were talking about, our two guests, Susan and Elizabeth. It took 2 years for DOOR to give support to this radio program, just out of fear that we would be too radical, too outspoken. It would be something that would not be DOOR-like as it was founded by these women. Now, we have managed to convince them, or fool them, I'm not sure which one, that we are not to be feared, and we are worthy of their support, and support us they do.
Yes, and we want to thank DOOR for that.
One of the keys to
bee in my bonnet is about being willing to run for office.
Yes.
And creating a politics is so darn ugly, so damn ugly,
yeah,
that people don't want to run. And it's whether they're Republicans or Democrats, an awful lot of very effective, very good people are simply not running for office because they don't want to run the gauntlet of abuse and difficulties that are involved. And folks, in a democracy, if people don't run, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, if you're not willing ultimately to run, that makes it very difficult for us to change things. It makes it very difficult for us to improve the country.
This is probably a whole show, but, and part of it, I think, is, you know, sainthood became required to declare for political office. The other side, you know, the term vetting, both sides have to vet candidates thoroughly and then decide which things in their, which human element in their past may or may not keep them from being a good candidate.
You're talking about kind of gotcha politics.
Absolutely, and especially when it comes to little things and like I say, human things and your past. So nobody wants to subject themselves or their families to such scrutiny. And that's, I think a part of it. In other words, you get a fairly narrow range of ideological views on both sides. when people are so afraid to step up to office. Part of what we're talking about this morning is a place at the table. And so we have time left. And before we run out of time, I want to talk about Door, Democrats of the Red Rocks free movie for September is A Place at the Table. It stars Jeff Bridges. It was directed by Christy Jacobson and Laurie Silverbush. 50 million Americans, one in four children, don't know where their next meal is coming from. A Place at the Table tells the powerful stories of three such Americans who maintain their dignity even as they struggle just to eat. A Place at the Table is going to be at the Sedona Library, September 25th, my birthday, by the way. You can
send him flowers, guys.
Drop-off presents, yeah, absolutely. All the Door movies at the Sedona Library started...
Cash accepted.
Cash accepted. Started at 6 o'clock. That's usually over by 8. Sometimes there's a lively discussion afterwards, which is also kind of fun if you in Sedona to actually go someplace, share some ideas. There are much more reasonable people than me there that will lead the discussions, although I have led one or two of them. September 25th, 6 o'clock, A Place at the Table, about hunger in America at the Sedona Library. Admission is free, but please bring a donation of non-perishable food. We bring the food to the Sedona Community Food Bank. Yeah, we have...
Door breakfast start on the third Thursday of September. There's still some questions. I think we've got a really great speaker lined up. Who's spoken to Door before, Nancy Wonder. She's a professor of criminology up at NAU. Mm-hmm. And so the Door breakfast will be going. And then in October, something that's really a lot of fun is the Door Dove Picnic.
Yes.
And it's October 13th. It's up at the Living Springs Camp, just stunningly beautiful place in Oak Creek Canyon. And those events are on the horizon. So Door has a speaker every month, a breakfast every month. It has a movie every month. Sometimes they correspond or be on the same subject, and sometimes not.
Right.
Talking about Democratic perspective for a minute, next week we have some folks who are supporting equal rights for gays, lesbians, transgender folks, and so forth and so on. They're going to come back and talk again, and they're going to talk a little bit about the history of the gay civil rights movement, how it starts, and where it's going to go. The next week we have Felicia Rodellini.
Yeah.
And we'll be doing an interview with her.
Candidate
for Attorney General.
In Arizona.
Then we're kind of turning our sites to kind of non-political shows. On the week after that, we're doing a show on the wine industry. We call it Wine Changes the Verde Valley.
Yeah,
on
absolutely.
The impact, the social, political, economic impact of the wine industry arriving in the Verde Valley. We're going to do a show on the override. We're going to have superintendents of school. We're going to have Jim Ledbetter.
The budget override from the local
again,
schools.
It's a nonpartisan issue. It's not really about Republicans and Democrats at all.
Right.
Neither is the wine industry. And Mike's putting the show. There's a really exciting story down in the Verde Valley, which is about the revival of Old Town.
Old Town Conwood, yeah.
And absolutely. Mike's going to put together a show. We'll have some of the people involved in the revival, both in government and in the private sector. And it can show you when government and private sector cooperate, and this is true of the wine industry, too, you get a lot of energy and you get a lot of things happening.
Sure. I was going to say, as we will find out, the emerging wine industry in the Verde Valley and Sedona is tied closely to the Old Town Old Town Cottonwood resurgence. I mean, I used to say that I watched people come to Old Town for 30 years, and it broke their hearts because people could recognize from everywhere what the potential was, but it took a long time to reach that potential. And it's nice to be around to finally see some of those, many of those things come to fruition. And we're going to talk to some of the people involved in that, some of the people involved early, some of the people involved later, and just what's going on and that kind of development.
So even though it's called, our show's called Democratic Perspective, and we're certainly Democrats, and we certainly take positions, and we certainly voice opinions, right, Mike?
Certainly do that.
We're going to do a series of shows that are really nonpartisan, or even, I don't know that it's quite non-political, but they're heading that direction.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for being with us. You've heard a little bit about the history of how a group of women formed a political organization in Sedona. It started out with, 11 members, they said, and it now has hundreds of members and one of the stronger political clubs in
Yes,
Arizona.
It was really nice to hear from Susan Solomon, Elizabeth Yancey, and Angela Lefever.
Thanks for being with us, folks.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.